What's the latest out in Missouri? Are you guys practicing with your kids?
We start practice on Monday.
Okay. Social distance workouts, or what's it been like the last few weeks?
They're going to let us go start Monday with regular practice. They haven't told us, you know, would it be the opening weekend yet, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, this is kind of fun, and I appreciate you working out scheduling. It's been a whirlwind, and, you know, every day is different over the country. So what we've done on this podcast series is we've featured a lot of prominent coaches around the country. We've highlighted a lot of JUCO guys because that's what our company works with a lot, and then a lot of state champions. So even last week, you know, what we do is raise money for programs. So last week, we started with Coach Harriet and St. Thomas Aquinas, and shoot, they've raised 50 grand in 4 days since they started their fundraiser, as you could expect with all the big names who've played there in the past. But I think we're double digits now in state champion coaches who've joined the podcast. So that was one of the big reasons, you know, why I wanted to have you on. And then in just kind of viewing your work, is what I would say, and what you do for recruiting and parent involvement. It's been cool to see how you're able to help out a lot of people, especially during a time like COVID where the recruiting game has changed. So I'm excited to talk about that, but how's your day going, man?
Man, it's going pretty good. Just been in here trying to get some work done, just planning for the week, for next week. Preparation and trying to make sure everybody's on task as they getting back into school.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's jump into some fun stuff first. Winning is fun. Before we get to the parent communication aspect of this, and you did that as a player. I know that you won a state championship as a player and then went on to play college ball, and then taken over. No, we talked about St. Thomas Aquinas. Y'all have a pretty historic program as well. I know Steve Atwater played there, and yes. You guys won class two last year. So what has it been like winning as a player and now winning as a coach? How is that different? And talk to us about last year.
Well, just the blessing of having been able to play and coach in two historically dominant programs and being fortunate enough to be around winning, to be around great coaches. I have great assistant coaches here. I was coached by great coaches in high school. And I have a lot of my former high school teammates on my staff here at Lutheran North. And wow. Just a commitment. It's a commitment to excellence. When you're a young man and you come in the room, in the building, and the first thing you see is a mural of Steve Atwater, you know, that's motivational. You know, it's motivational. And so winning starts with a commitment to excellence. And doing everything the way you do, the way you go about handling your academics, the way you go about behaving, the way you go about how you conduct yourself in class. It's so much deeper than football. And winning has to become your lifestyle in everything that you do.
Yeah. So you have guys from your high school football team who you're coaching with now?
Yeah, I have guys that
you played high school ball with?
Yeah. Yeah, I have several of them.
How did that come about? You guys just stayed close ever since?
We grew up together, you know, and we played, you know, nothing brings people together like shared suffering, you know, and that's kind of what high school ball is. And so as guys got into their coaching careers and, you know, you had different opportunities come up, and when you're trying to win, you want to go back and grab guys that you know how to win. You know, they know the way that things are supposed to be done because we had already done them that way.
Well, that's an interesting story. I don't think many people are coaching with their high school teammates. How is your coaching staff in terms of, I bet the camaraderie is amazing, but like what went into each one of those hires? I just think if I'm a high school coach out there and I'm listening to this, a lot of them, one of the biggest, I guess, obstacles to overcome is how do I get good guys around me? How do I build a good coaching staff? So talk to me about how you were able to get these guys on board and what makes your coaching staff special.
Well, you wanted guys that all wanted to be elite, and they all needed to have their own dreams, right? They all needed to have their own desires to be great. I have 9 former coach assistant coaches who are head coaches now at other schools.
Wow.
And so along with the guys we have now, they take their job very seriously. It's like I tell my assistant coaches all the time, you know, your resume is what you put on film, right? So if you want the opportunity to be a head coach, you want bigger things to come, whatever you put on film from your position group is what people are going to evaluate you on, and they take it very seriously. And we've just been really fortunate to have a great group of coaches, guys who are really dedicated to the kids, to their craft, and everybody's consistently working to get better.
Yeah. Specifically, how do you, as a head coach, lead your assistant coaches? Like, it sounds like you've clearly had success with guys who were under you, who have moved on and been successful now at your level. How are you able to pour into those guys? And like, what specific things do you do to pour into your current staff?
Well, number one, you have to be willing to do anything that you ask them to do. That's number one. Number two, you're trying to have an organizational structure so everybody's role is clearly defined. Everybody knows exactly what they're supposed to do every single day. It's highly organized, it's highly detailed. And so you're giving them a plan to follow. And also when they leave, they're leaving with a plan that they know is successful.
Yeah, I love that, man. And clearly you've had success, like I said, with that, because I think you've had a number of guys go on and do a great job. So let's get into kind of the meat of our conversation today, which is parent communication. I know that's something that you're passionate about. And we always like when coaches come on the podcast to focus on something that you are passionate about, because we know that passion is going to transmit and translate to other coaches who hear about it. So you started this network, this database where you're able to provide content on recruiting specifically to parents, which I think is interesting because a lot of the information you see out there is directed towards the student athlete first. Mm-hmm. And you're harping on something that is probably missing, which is why you've had success in this. But how did this concept come about? I would imagine you saw a need for it, but just talk to us about the start of this journey in helping parents and players through the recruiting process.
Well, what I tell people all the time, I say this to my coaches, I say it to college coaches when they come in and recruit, kids don't make decisions, parents make decisions, right? Hmm. And we're kind of in this world where a lot of coaches do not want to deal with parents. They don't want to talk to them. That relationship has kind of become very adversarial, and I'm probably unique because I go the complete opposite way. You know, I've talked to probably 11 parents in my football program this morning. We're either on the phone or we're texting, you know, we're trying to solve problems. To me, it's the parent-coach partnership, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're in partnership to put the kid in the best possible situation that he can use to be successful. And I think so many things get lost in communication and translation. Well, if the coach and the parent took 5 minutes to have a conversation, then there would be no issues on either side. And I think that it's become kind of very standoffish. I think that when you deal with parents, you maximize your participation. I just think that you have an opportunity to do so much more with your program when you bring parents into the fold, instead of kind of trying to ostracize them outside. And you also are going to lessen your problems by educating the parents and letting mm-hmm. the parents know, you know, this is how recruiting works. This is why your son isn't playing. This is what's going on from an academic standpoint, because parents also know their kid, like, right? So if you're in communication with them and you're telling them what their kid is doing, it's not going to be something that surprises them, because they live with their kid every day. So they know exactly what kind of kid that they have. But people don't like to get surprised. And so we try to just eliminate the surprises that you can have with constant communication.
And there's a lot of coaches. So communication, open communication with parents is what I'm hearing. There's a lot of coaches, like you're saying, who are like, I don't deal with parents. Mm-hmm. I got this guy on my staff. He handles all of them. Or I got my athletic director, go see the AD or whatever it is, and they want nothing to do with it. I'm a football coach. I just focus on in between the lines. If you want to know why your kid's not playing, then you talk to them, whatever it is. So I would imagine you've had parents, though, and a lot of coaches do, who have come at you upset with something, right? Something at practice, playing time, kind of those very, consistent and regular, objections that you're used to as a coach. Like, how did you, and especially because you've been doing it a while, at the beginning of your coaching career, how did you handle those objections and those parents who were upset? And have you always been this patient, or what does it look like now?
So I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't have any of those kind of issues. You know, I hear other coaches who have things like that, but I don't want to make it sound like it's bliss, but I would say that blissful would be the best way that I would describe my relationship with my parents. I mean, I think that we're one big family and we don't have many, adversarial type of conversations because the communication is so regular and it's so truthful, right? You got to have honesty, honor, and integrity, right? And if you tell people the truth and you communicate with them in a respectful way, I have three sons of my own, and I would hope that if you were coaching my sons, you would be willing to have a conversation with me no matter what it is regarding my children, right? And so that's how I look at it, and I understand that everybody isn't like that, but this is what works for me, and I think it plays a large part in why we have been so successful.
Blissful and an open, honest conversation. It's really interesting because, again, I think you know that this is not the case with other coaches. So what I'm hearing is that because you start with that open conversation, that honest, truthful conversation, you kind of eliminate that. Because yeah. I would imagine like, it's not like, oh, wherever you've been, you've just had this amazing group of parents. Like, people are people, no matter where they are, any state, right? I'm in California, but I've talked to guys in Texas and Florida and everywhere in between. You're going to have parents who, if you don't set those parameters, could potentially, take advantage or you give them more of that voice, right?
Yeah, you some of it, it's boundaries, but when people respect each other, you typically don't have to set boundaries. Like, you know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. We all adults, so we know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. But you tend to treat people better that you know very well, right? If you know somebody very well, you probably treat them a little better than a guy that you don't know at all. And those conversations that you have with parents are not always going to make them happy. Like, sometimes you're going to be giving them some bad news. You can say, hey, Coach Reed, I want Lil Brock Jr. to be a quarterback for SC, right? And when Lil Brock Jr.
Maybe Oregon or Cal, man, not SC.
that you want him to play at Oregon. Well, when he comes in my office, he tells me he wants to play the soprano saxophone in the concert band, right? Well, we're going to all sit down in a room and get on the same page, so we know what the expectations are. And that may bother you that he wants to be a saxophone player, right? But that's a deal with you and him at home, right? That's not a deal with me, but we have to communicate openly and honest with each other so we know what the expectations are for each other.
Yeah. So there's this bridge, starts with the parents. Like you're saying, kids don't make decisions, parents make decisions. But that bridge from the parent to kid is super important. And it's almost like I see it as like a triangle. Like, they have that direct relationship in the house where they discuss future. Mm-hmm. And yet you are a guide for both of them.
Think about it like this. A kid misses practice, right? because he said he got to work for whatever reason. And so as a coach, you continue to get upset because he misses practice every Tuesday and Wednesday because he says he's working. You mad. You telling him to communicate with you. He's kind of going back and forth. And the parent come to the game and the kid's not playing, right? Well, the problem is they don't know that he has missed practice every Tuesday and Wednesday. And you find out that he doesn't have a job, right? Mm. Tuesday and Wednesday is the day he likes to hang out with his girlfriend because his girlfriend's parents work late on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, right? Well, if you had communication with the parent, you would have never went through that, right? Mm. And then you'd have a good player that is contributing to your team instead of having a problem meeting with a parent. You just didn't have to go through that if you would have just had some type of communication, you know. And conversation rules the nation, you know. Sit back, talk to people, kind of figure out what's going on so you know where everybody stands and so you know exactly what's happening.
So I got a question because that makes me think, and it's really good stuff. What happens? So I got coached at an inner city LA school where there honestly were not there was not many fathers, especially in the home, which affects a kid. And I've coached, you know, at more suburban areas where there's two parents at home, but they're not at home, right? Like they're absent, you know, maybe their presence is there, but their mind is not. How do you, if parent communication is so big, like how does that play out when you start entering in homes where you're like, man, there's some issues here? Like how do you as a coach help with that situation? Or like how much can you do when you realize, man, there are some parent issues in raising this kid?
Even if it's not a dad involved, somebody's involved. You have to deal with the mom. There's an uncle. There's some adult. There's a grandparent. There's some adult that kid has to be accountable to, that you have to communicate with, that you have to find out who that person is. I tell my own kids this all the time. I tell this to my players. Young people from the age of 14 to 25 lie for no reason, right? It's just people in that age group. They just don't tell the truth. They got things that they want to do that they know adults would not approve of if they just told them the truth. So they lie. So they can do the things that they want to do. Well, your communication with the parent, with the guardian, whoever that person is, right, that eliminates 90% of that, right? Yeah, he has practice on these days. This is the schedule. He should be here. I've had kids that didn't have dads, but there was an uncle. If the uncle gets involved, now the uncle is holding the kid accountable. There is somebody that is helping every single kid, no matter how rough the situation is. Like, they're not living on their own. They're not paying their own rent. They're not buying their own food. Like, whoever is in charge of taking care of that young person wants to see that person have some kind of success. But you have to be willing to communicate with them. And a lot of people are not willing. We look on the outside at situations and we say, I think this situation is really rough, so I'm not going to really get involved. I'm going to kind of stay on the outside of this because this situation is a little too heavy for me to get involved with. But in reality, if you got involved, it would make the situation easier for everybody, because typically when the parent and the coach get in the room with the kid, you both find out the kid is not telling either one of you the truth, right? And it's just something about kids at that age. And so if you eliminate that from the beginning, then you never deal with that. Like, I don't ever get an angry parent because they already know the truth, right? Yeah. And I'm never angry at my parents because I already know the truth, right? Yeah. And the kid is constantly in the state of knowing he has to have discipline, because we will talk to each other today. So, like, the kid has to know, if I say that I got to miss practice for whatever reason, somebody's going to talk to your parent. So it better be legit.
Dude, as I hear more of it, what a gap for so many programs. The fact that the coaches don't have communication with the parents. Like, I think you've identified it. I think a lot of coaches are probably scratching their head and yelling at kids day after day and trying to make them show up on time or trying to, you know, speak into them, but you want to play college football, you got to show up to practice. And yet the kid keeps getting away with it because the parent doesn't even know.
What it is, it's a waste of your time. It's something that you don't have to deal with if you communicate with people properly. But something about the head coaching position sometimes make guys feel like they're so powerful that they don't have to do that, right? Mm. They feel like, well, I'm the boss. It's my way or the highway, but you're not winning, right? Most of you not winning, and you're not winning consistently. You really do want the kid to play, right? Yeah. And the kid really does want to play. Well, you can't match his energy by you acting like a kid too, right? Like, sit down and communicate. Think about when you were 16, were you a great communicator? You probably weren't, right? Everybody has been a kid before, right? Yeah. Everybody has done something that they weren't supposed to do or shortcutted some responsibility that they had or made up some excuse to why they couldn't be somewhere where they were supposed to be. So now that you're an adult, you expect those kids to not do the same thing that you would have did in the situation. And that never made sense to me.
Hmm. Winning, you've won. And like you're saying, like a lot of these guys who are yelling at kids and a lot of the times I hear coaches blame kids. Man, if we just had, you know, I'm sure there are guys who are listening to you who are like, man, well, if we just had his kids, you know, right? That's like the classic coach cop-out. Yeah. So other than, you know, there's talent everywhere. But why have you won, and what role has this parent communication played in that?
It's probably played the biggest role because my kids don't miss anything. Like, I have 100% attendance at everything. So we lift at 6 a.m., and people will say, well, how are you getting your kids at 6 a.m.? I tell their parents that we work out at 6 a.m. and they're committed to it because we have communication. I never have to show up in my building and worry about somebody not being here, right? Like, I know when I come into the weight room at 6 in the morning and my strength coach is in there getting after it, I don't have to be like, well, where's this kid? Where's that kid? Where's this? Like, I already know. If somebody was going to miss because they had a dentist appointment, I already know. Right. Mm-hmm. There's never a surprise. Like, I'm going to get an email, a text message, a phone call. Hey, coach, you know, we have a funeral on Thursday. You know, we'll be to school when the funeral is over, you know, or we're going to miss Thursday, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But it's never a surprise because you already know, you know, and you don't come out to practice and say, well, where the hell is my quarterback at? You know what I mean? Why is my right tackle not here today? You already know, and you had an opportunity to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm. Teachers is one thing I think coaches use a lot of, right? Like, hey, I'm going to talk to your teacher, or your teacher's going to, you know about this. You feel like parents are even more important, though, because they're with them more of the day than a teacher could be?
The parent is the most important person in the process because that's the only person who can really hold the kid accountable. Right? Like, that's the only person who the kid is really afraid of.
Yeah.
Is the parent. And in order for them to have respect for you as the coach and you being able to discipline them, the parent has to give you the power to discipline. Right? So if you have a relationship with the parent and you develop trust, honor, and integrity and morality, then the parent is typically going to say, going to defer to you on some of those discipline things, right? But you need them to defer to you, not work against you, right? You need them to say, well, hey, if coach said it this way, it's probably right. But it's about developing trust in a relationship. If you go through 4 years of high school, I mean, think about it. How many guys go through high school and the coach really doesn't know the parent? I mean, they probably meet on senior night for the first time, or maybe they bump into each other when you're picking a kid up from practice, but they don't really know anything about anybody, right? Mm. And you can't really help with the college recruiting process because you don't know the kid and you don't know the parents. You don't know anything that could really help the situation, right? So you're doing the kid a disservice.
Where do you lay the foundation for this do you do it like, do you, is your first parent meeting, everyone comes in and you let them know this is how our program is run, this is how we communicate?
So we probably have 4 parent meetings a year. We have a parent meeting to discuss the off season, the preseason, the season, and then college recruiting, the process. And so if you're a veteran parent that's been in the program, then you pretty much know how it works. The only thing would be every year the incoming freshmen would be getting indoctrinated to it. But through word of mouth, you know, when they decide to come to school here, most of them have heard about it, or they have a clear understanding of the way that we do things here that are going to be, you know, quite a bit different than what everybody else does.
Have you been able to, I know that you've talked about this before with people, have you seen other programs like adopt this since you initially did this with your programs?
Well, I'm not familiar how anybody else runs their program in terms of that. This is what we do. I've spoken about it at clinics. I actually have a webinar out there that parents or coaches could go get and take a look at. But it's I don't know how unique it is. You know, when I talk to people, they say that it's unique from the way that they do things. But I know that it has worked wonders for us as a program.
And real quick before, you know, I don't know if you have time to get into some chalk. We like to go over a player concept. I know that we would love to if you're open for it and hopping on Huddle. But cool. Yeah, looking forward to that. But I would love for you to kind of give people your pitch on your parents recruiting guide that you have out there. I know it's something that you've been working on and had posted earlier this week. So if you want to let some folks know about that offer, yeah, that would be awesome.
I think that if you get my parents recruiting guide, it's only $20. It will go over every step of what you need to know as a parent in the recruiting process, and it will inform you on the things that you need to know that will have you prepared for the college recruiting process. It would give you direct access to me also to ask me any questions that you may have. But I just felt like that was the easiest way. I get 500 to 600 DMs a week. I get a lot of calls and emails. And so it's no way for me to get to all of them, right? So I feel like this is the best way for me to put a webinar out there that pretty much walks it down step by step, everything that you need to know. And we're going to continue to put out content and information for you guys to look at.
Cool. So coaches, you know, you're probably following him already, but if you're not, it's at Coach Reed 314 on Twitter. And then his pinned tweet is the parent recruiting guide that you could share with your parents. Not every coach out there honestly has, you know, I played high school football under a young coaching staff. And, you know, went through the recruiting process, and dude, I could have really used you. My parents could have really used you. I didn't know shit. And I ended up walking on at FCS school and getting to have a solid career, which was awesome. But a lot of kids out there don't get the opportunity. You've talked a lot about D2, D3, NAIA football, I know, which is important, JUCO football. We've had a number of those guys on the podcast is another avenue for some people too. So, parents, coaches, check this out. Not every high school football coach has this knowledge. So sometimes you just got to offboard it. Like, hey, who else can help me explain this? And I think Coach Reed, you're a thought leader, in this industry, which is definitely cool to see. But this time I'm going to give you an opportunity to share your screen and, excited to watch some tape. What concept or play are you walking us through today, Coach?
Hold on, let me pull this up. More so than just a play.
Okay.
I want to talk about an offense, right? I want to talk about the wing tee a little bit.
All right. Let's go.
So I'm running this, and this is just a series of plays, guys. And the reason that I want to say this, and I'm not going to stay on this long, right? But the wing tee is a successful series of offense that any coach can use to have success and win within his football program. In an age where everybody is so inundated with the spread, right? We kind of turn to the wing T because most guys don't have a Division I or elite level quarterback to really drive them throwing the ball like that every single play, right? And we were fortunate enough to get involved with the wing T. So people say, well, the athletes don't want to run it. Kids don't want to run it. I will put our record in sending kids to Division I and elite universities up against anybody in the country, right? And so if you're a coach and you don't have an offensive identity and you're looking for one, do not be afraid to run the wing T. You can run and attack every guy. You can, the passing and the play action passing out of it is completely elite, you know? And so it's something you hear people say all the time. We run a spread. If you have that guy who can play quarterback, and I've had guys like that before, then run the spread until your heart is out. But if you are a guy that's stuck in a rut, you're going 5-5, you're going 4-6, you're going 3-7, you're throwing different offenses at the wall, there is nothing better that you can do for your program from your high school to your feet or all the way down than install the wing T and get very good and get very successful and elite at it. And that's just my coaching point for any young coach, any old coach that is trying to find a way to win and do something to turn this program around.
What do you think is the key? Now, I know the wing T well, man. Out here in the Bay Area, Northern California, when I was a senior, four teams in our league ran the wing T or a variation of it or, you know, components of it. So, I'm a D line guy, and I kind of, as a D lineman, I kind of like playing offenses like that, and not to in a bad way. I wasn't as athletic, and you put me in space trying to rush the passer, and I wasn't very good. But what do you think is like the number one key? If a coach is like, I want to run it successful. I know there's a lot of components to it. What do you think is the number one key to running a successful wing T offense?
Commitment to sticking to it. You know, okay. While you're installing it, commitment to it, commitment to the running backs to run through the fakes, to block for each other. We tell our backs all the time, no block, no rock, right? The quarterback being able to hide the ball, the sleight of hand, the misdirection. You know, a good fake can be worth two or three blocks sometimes, right? Mm. You know, we call it ground magic. You know what I mean? When our quarterback turns around, it's just magic. You know, the kids will buy into it. If you buy into it, you can be very, very elite at it. And it's so many things that you can do out of it. And we've been really successful doing it.
Hmm. Another state champion who we're going to be having in the future on the podcast, Pleasant Grove High School down in Texas. They're the 4A state champs last year. They've won two out of the last 3 years. And they run the wing T really well, too. And I was just talking to their coach this morning because they're starting their campaign with us soon. But I appreciate you hopping on, man. I think – not only the wing T stuff, I think that's great. And I'm a fan of the offense and I'm sick of the spread too. But the parent communication stuff, the reason why I asked you, like, hey, how many other programs have implemented this that you know? Because I think it's so phenomenal. Any coach who listens to this, it's not just we'll try it at our school. Every single coach should be doing this. And yeah. I just think of my experience as a player and as a coach and having worked with so many guys all across the country through this role. I mean, there are so many programs that do not do this well. So many. And it's
you've been programmed as coaches to not deal with parents. Like, that's everybody's thing. My coaches were like that, my high school and my college coaches. And you get taught that that's the best way to do it. But what I found out very early in my career, you know, when I was just a position coach, I was coaching the D-line. Well, my three technique is not at practice, right? And it really pisses me off. And so I go and I get to the root of the problem, and I felt like even then, if we would have just had a conversation, he would be at practice and I can get ready for my game. I can get ready for the game. He can be at practice, which is where he needs to be. He can be at school every day, which is where he needs to be. And all we had to do was have a 5-10 minute conversation, and it saved everybody a lot of headaches, right? And so from that point on, it kind of changed my philosophy, and I knew when I was going to become a head coach that that was the way that I was going to do it, you know. And this is what works for us. I think that if you look at any roster that I've coached and close your eyes, you can point to any kid and their parent has my cell phone number in their phone. They don't talk to the assistant coach. They talk to me, right? And there's nothing ever gets lost in translation. They know that they can call me and that I answer the phone and I always make the time for them.
Man, availability is something that has come up time and time again on this podcast series. Again, we're talking to the best of the best in every state. The big states, right? Big programs. Dudes playing to the next level, like your program. And one of the things that really stands out with most of these guys, they're available to their players, to their staff, for you, to your parents. And that is, and hearing about Twitter DMs and all of the requests, right? You have a large following. Your availability is impacting a lot of people. And so I would just encourage you with that, man. Like, I was definitely blessed through this time. I might coach high school ball in the future. And I think just that lesson of get more involved with the parents, man. Get more involved with the parents. That's going to help the kids with accountability. That's going to help them in personal life and school. It's going to help them play college football. So I would just encourage you with that, man. You're doing a lot of cool stuff with your program. And I think it's trend setting stuff. Like it's not like, oh, we just run the wing T. Like you're doing transformative work. And I hope people check out the Parents Recruiting Guide, but thanks so much for hopping on, man. And appreciate your time because I know it's valuable.
Thank you. I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, man. So we'll share this. I think it's going out next week, actually. Our marketing team told me. And I apologize for kind of being a little all over the place. It's been a whirlwind. I literally got the baby cam right here, dude. Like we just had our first.
Yeah, congratulations on that, man. I know how that goes, believe me.
Yeah. You know, the first one, you're like freaking out too. So like my wife, and of course we're all working from home because California is still like shut down. So it was crazy, but I really mean what I said, man. It's cool work. I'm sure you've got a lot of attaboys throughout the years, but I know it never gets old hearing them. And sometimes you need to when you're tired or when you hear different things. And I don't know what your world is really like, but like one of my biggest missions through this is to like encourage coaches who hear all sorts of things, right? And so it's been cool to look at the work that you do, especially through Twitter, because I know that's a cool avenue that you've been able to use. But yeah, I hope it was a good time for you, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be blessed through it.
All right, thanks, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, see you, coach.